When we brought Sarah, our firstborn child, home from the hospital, her dad and I experienced a few small, hardly noticeable changes in our day-to-day life. Okay, well, maybe they were somewhat noticeable. Okay, well, maybe our lives, like the lives of all first-time parents especially, were basically turned upside down. Not too long into that new adventure, my then husband said to me, "Everyone talks about how hard it is for the new mom when there's a baby. Nobody talks about how hard it is for the dad." With a little more compassion that I could muster than I could muster at that time, I can now, only 20 years later, acknowledge that there probably was a little bit of truth to his words. A new baby in the family is, in fact, also hard for the dad. And this morning, I can't help but wonder if Joseph, the father of Jesus, would admit to ever having felt anything like that. I can imagine him saying, for example, "Everyone always talks about how hard it was for Mary, how faithful she was, how brave she was, how completely she had to trust God." And I can imagine him continuing and saying, "And yes, all of those things are true, absolutely. Mary was all of those things. Mary did all of those things." But then I can imagine Joseph pausing and adding, "But it was hard for me too. And nobody ever talks about that." Because it was also hard for Joseph. He had to be faithful. He also had to be brave. He and Mary, as we all know, were due to be married. And he found out that she was pregnant. And not because she and Joseph had had any premarital relations. When he found out that Mary was carrying someone else's child, Joseph had to decide whether to stay with her or not. He considered simply walking away from their engagement, dismissing Mary quietly, which would have been kind, but that would have ended any obligation he had to her and this baby. But as he considered that, God spoke to him in a dream. And God told Joseph that the child Mary was carrying was God's own child, conceived in Mary by the Holy Spirit, and to not be afraid to take her as his wife. And so he did. But in that choice, Joseph, no less than Mary, had to trust God completely. In that decision, he had to trust that he had heard God's voice, and that he would be following God's path, even though that path took him in a direction that went against the practices, the traditions, the rules, the expectations of his family, his community, his culture, his religion. And saying yes, though, still, to taking Mary as his wife, Joseph said yes to God. And in saying yes to God, no less than Mary, Joseph showed profound faith and immeasurable courage. And we don't talk about that much. I've been thinking a lot recently about the interplay between faith and courage. And I'm beginning to think that faith cannot be expressed, cannot really be expressed without courage. Especially if we think about faith like former President Jimmy Carter, who famously said, "Faith is not just a noun, but is also a verb." I'm coming to believe that true faith, lived out faith, faith that matters and makes a difference in our lives and in the world around us, the kind of faith that Joseph had, requires courage. I'm going to share a few of the reasons that have come to me for why I think that's true. And I would love to hear your thoughts about it. For now, here are some starters. Number one, our faith as Christians, the faith that we proclaim here every Sunday and at other times, the faith that is grounded in the way of Jesus of Nazareth. This faith invites us to know ourselves. Anybody want to guess what I'm going to say? As God's
beloved.
It's a little bit small, but, and that's not because of what we do or who we are or whether we deserve it, but it's because of who God is. And that's not easy. We humans somehow think that we have to earn the right to be loved. We've somehow decided that we have to be good and we have to do good in order to be loved. And we seem to think that we get to decide who's good enough, who's done enough good, and therefore who's worthy of love. To simply allow ourselves and others, all others, to be God's beloved by virtue of the fact that we exist and that love is who God is and what God does, that's hard. And that takes courage. Number two, this faith that we proclaim that is informed by the way of Jesus of Nazareth calls us to see the brokenness in the world and in ourselves with honesty and with compassion and tenderness. And through the lens of God's love for all of creation and within the context of our belovedness, that's not easy. We can pretty easily, I think, see the brokenness in the world, but we tend to see it through a lens of blame and self-righteousness and contempt and sometimes hopelessness and despair. We see the brokenness in ourselves a little less easily and rarely with much compassion. When we see the brokenness in ourselves, we're more likely to see it through a lens of shame and guilt, often with defensiveness and excuses and maybe even finger pointing. But to truly see how we and the world are broken with tenderness in our gaze and compassion in our spirits and against the backdrop of God's love, that's hard. And that takes courage. Number three, the faith that we proclaim that is rooted in the way of Jesus of Nazareth teaches us to live as Jesus lived and to love as Jesus loved. Talk about hard. This faith teaches us to forgive our friends and our enemies, to value humility and sacrifice, to honor and draw in the marginalized and the outcast, to extend mercy to the undeserving, to work for justice and to seek and speak truth. All of that is so hard. We might make an effort to forgive our friends, but we often silently, and sometimes not so silently, nurse grudges against our enemies and sometimes even wish bad things upon them. We can pay lip service to humility and sacrifice, but deep down we seem to value power and looking out for number one. We idolize the rich and the famous, and we don't really think that much about those on the fringes. We get a thrill out of doling out rewards to those we deem deserving, and we cheer when the bad guys get what's coming to them. And we live in a country that regularly pledges liberty and justice for all. And we pretend to not see the realities of injustice and the inequalities of our freedoms. All of those things are part of the life and teachings of Jesus. To do any one of those things, let alone all of them, is hard and takes courage. And number four, and this is the last one for now. If all of that isn't enough, the faith that we proclaim, that finds its foundation in the way of Jesus of Nazareth, this faith asks us, when we are doing what we believe God has called us to do, to rely not primarily on tangible, measurable, quantifiable results, or on spreadsheets, or on evaluation forms, but it calls us, it asks us to instead trust that God is at work, no matter what we can see happening or not. When we are doing what we believe God has called us to do, our faith asks us to trust that God is at work in us, through us, around us, sometimes in spite of us, and beyond us, in ways that we may not ever see. And that is hard, maybe harder in Los Alamos than in other places. And that takes profound courage. Like Joseph's faith and the faith of the lamb who lies down with the wolf and the baby goat who lies down with the leopard, our faith asks us sometimes to do things that go against the practices, the traditions, the rules, the expectations of our families, our communities, our culture, sometimes our religious institutions. Our faith asks us sometimes to do things that would seem to go against common sense, that aren't popular, that call into question comfortable customs and deeply ingrained habits and perhaps centuries-old traditions. Our faith, if it is to matter, is a faith that requires courage. It's not easy to have that kind of faith. It's not easy to live that kind of faith. It's hard. Sometimes it's crazy hard. But the good news is that we don't have to do it alone. We can do it with each other. We are doing it with each other and with other people of faith, not only around the world, but across time. And we are doing it with God. God's very self is with us. God's own spirit is within us. That's the good news of Christmas, isn't it? The good news that we are preparing to receive and to share during these weeks of Advent. We're getting our hearts ready to receive God's very self, who came to earth in human form in Jesus, the infant son of Joseph and Mary, who through God's Spirit lives with us still. God is with us. That's the good news of our faith and the good news that we are getting ready to celebrate. May we have the courage to prepare for it. May we have the courage to receive it. And may we have the courage to live it. It's not easy. It can be crazy hard, but we are not alone. God is with us. Amen.